planes back to their provinces. Welcome at this meeting of the Select Committee for Finance, our last engagement in this series of meetings with provincial treasuries, in this case KZN, and we must also commend the MECs of the provinces who attended these meetings. It's only Western Cape where the MEC had to attend to a meeting in Nigeria regarding that disaster, and he had to do a presentation to Cabinet. The Cabinet meeting was in Nigeria that day. So it's a very important session where we look at the fiscal position, of each province. But looking at the fiscal position, you get the picture of what's actually going on in the different departments. And that's where appropriations will focus when they deal with that part of the microeconomy, linking it with the provinces. So welcome to the MEC, Honorable Scott and the team. We've got one apology. I was sensitized by Mr. Rentu, Mrs. Honorable Matavula, that's not here. The other members know that we start at 2 o'clock sharp. We're going straight into the business of the meeting, and I'm going to allow the MEC, Honorable Scott, to make her input and to take us through. No, wait. First National Treasury, sorry. Mrs. Gerekwa. Yeah. You are now actually a formal member of the committee. Honorable members, you've got this treasury document, the maroon one?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you 15 minutes. Is that enough? You need 20. Pardon?
15 should be fine,
Honorable. This is very straightforward.
Yes.
I went to the press for the presentation of the problems as well. It's not major issues. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honorable Members, MEC, HOD, and colleagues. Going through the presentation quickly. Normally, we do manage fiscal risk in provincial state of government by coordinating the budget process. Part of what we do, we look at the provincial budget. As you will see that we've also included slides for the MTF because we've looked at the budget and advised the province in terms of how we see how social services have been funded. Also, we do the monthly monitoring of the provincial spending. We do the conditional grant monitoring, reporting, rollway coordination, compliance, enforcement and intervention, including withholding and stopping, and we'll see that KZN benefited from the withholding and stopping from Free State. And part of what we do visit provinces and for after the first quarter spending, and also we do infrastructure visits, and then we write the report and present to TCF and Budget Council. And part of what we do provide training to provincial department officials. The next slide just shows that the province did receive a rollover that was from the provincial maintenance grant, and also, as I've indicated, they did receive 86.8 million as part that was stopped in Free State with regards to education infrastructure grant. The next slide just shows that at that time, because we use the preliminary numbers, but in terms of the latest number that we have received, is that the province did spend 99.8%. Going straight into it is that at that time, end of March, it seems like health had overspent, but looking at the latest information shows that health underspent just slightly, not a big amount. That 97 million is not there. So therefore, in total, I think the province has underspent by 232 million. And looking at education had the underspending was 12 million then, but the picture is still the same because they overspent by 9 point something million. Purely the pressure was on infrastructure and also ECD. If you look at ECD, and it seems like public ordinary schools program is adequately funded now. health, I won't touch on it because, but health did have challenges with regards to district health services where primary health care is, and mostly it was on medicine in their case. With regards to... provincial legislature, they had underspent by 12.9%. Mainly this one is on COE and goods and services. And also with regards to the provincial treasurer, also there it was COE and goods and services. And the other one was transport that underspent purely on COE. As we see that actually the province is underspent, but members will recall that there is a moratorium on filling of non-critical posts in the province. So critical posts such as in health and education are departments are allowed to fill. And we see that there was underspending of 564 million. But the issue here is that of that 294 million is from education. And in that case, education overspent on goods and also on transfer. So maybe it's time education maybe reallocates the money back, because previously they've reprioritized from goods and transfers, and now it seems like these two areas are under pressure. And also contributing to that overspending on goods, as health as I've indicated. With regards to transfers, also there was a big overspending there of 268 million. And education, COGTA, health, and economic development also contribute to that. That small overspending on KPIs is mainly transport, because it would seem like in transport there is a classification issue because they underspend on goods, so they kind of net it off each other. The headcounts in education remain fairly stable, and we have noted that even this small decline did not really affect educator numbers, because they remain relatively stable at just above 90,000. The biggest worry has been the decline in the health numbers, because in this area the department also lost the specialists like the oncologists in the province. So the next slide just shows that education overspend. One of the areas where they are having pressures is LTSM. So as I've already indicated, maybe it's a time that if the COE is adequately funded, then they begin to move money to the areas of need. Health, I've already indicated that there was big pressures in medicine and medical supplies. Medicine mainly on, because there is a universal test and treat on ARVs, so on HIV and AIDS program. So that also affected the province in that regard. Laboratory services is adequately funded, unlike I think previously. So in that case, even though they still have a contingent liability, but it's not connected as for the previous years. We've looked at the accruals also of the province, and we've noted that there's been a huge, kind of an increase of more than 49% from 2.8 billion to 4.2 billion. And education, the accruals also increased. I think the worry here is that education only underspent on COE was 291. So therefore, if they've got accruals on goods, where they overspend, it means they overcommitted also, I think, on capital. Health also overspend on goods, so actually it means there was kind of an overcommitment in their case. And also there's been an increase. We look at transport. I think the most surprising one was one of COGTA at 693.8 million, that they've got such huge accruals at the end of the year. I've already touched on a lot of things. I think the second bullet there, health is not really overspent on COE. It was just an error from our side. I've already spoken about the accruals, and I will just commend the province for over-collecting again on their own revenue. They over collected by 145 million. The cash declined slightly, but as we have seen that the province spent 99.8% of their budget, so therefore they did well, even if the revenue, the cash balance of 2.9 still in a good, very good position. The next slide, we in education are worried about the continuous under expenditure of in training and development, because we're beginning to wonder whether the educators not been trained, because they only spent 10 million actually in the previous financial year. In health, there was pressures in the previous financial year in 2016-17, and that led to the reduced intake of nurses and community staff, and we have seen that health professionals seem to be not happy in the province, with some are having returned to the MEC even of health in that regard. I've already indicated that health did lose some medical practitioners, about 352 of them. There were enforced savings, but we're wondering whether, because now their crews have increased slightly, to what extent are these items that the department spent kind of have savings on them had also contributed to the accrual. The issue of the universal test and treatment, I've already spoken about it. Also, I think the worry is the procurement of essential machinery and equipment, as has been raised as part of the issues in the province. With regards to the MTF budget, the province has a budget for surplus, as they've already done in the previous year's previous MTF, just to cushion the province in case there are areas of pressure during the year. I think the only worry here is seems like to be education budget, but seeing how they spent in the previous financial year, it maybe the pressure might not arise. Looking at the percentage share of economic classification, we see that compensation, as much as it's above average, but it's not as bad as, let's say, Limpopo at 70%. The province is just 2% above average, but because we were at 61 at the moment, so the picture is still good. With regards to COE over the MTF, the global picture shows that the province have adequately funded for COE. But when you look at education, it would seem, but maybe the pressure might not really, because the reason I'm saying this is because there was a salary increase of CPI plus one, which resulted being at 7.3. So I'm wondering to what extent will that affect education if the growth is 6%. Maybe it might not really have a pressure there, plus the pay progression. We have seen that the revenue of the province had to reduce the revenue slightly because of the increase in the number of patients that qualify for free public health care. We're still worried about education, the transfer to schools, even that we know that the fund is still below norms and standards. But looking at how the department spent in the previous financial year, that underspent by almost 300 million on COE, maybe it's time that the money is being channeled to this area or even to learner transport, because it is not adequate at the moment, and also the LTSM. Health, have already spoken about the issue of medicine, that there was a pressure there, and seems like the pressure will continue over the MTF. The medical students will also be returning from Cuba, so this will also exert pressure on the department's budget. The medical legal claim is also another issue, but this one I think we'll continue to find ways of how we, together with provinces, to deal with this issue. The last one is just COCTA, that because we've seen that COCTA got accruals of 693, and then we're just worried about that. It's a potential risk to the provincial fiscus. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mrs. Ferry. From the National Treasury members, you have noted the the conclusion and remarks by the National Treasury. We will give you opportunity for your questions after the presentation by the Provincial Treasury of KZN. I want to congratulate you, MEC, and the Provincial Treasury with the program you rolled out regarding the girl child, sanitary aware. It was the first province, and I think the last one. I haven't heard of any other province that did the same. I wish we had more time that you can tell me, because I want to sensitize my MEC in the Northern Cape to link up with you and learn best practice, and that we do it there as well. But thank you for that, assisting poor people also to be dignified. Over to you, MEC. You can introduce your team, and we give you 30 minutes.
I'm going to just try and deal with some of the major issues that were raised by National Treasury, and then hand over to my technical team to deal with the technical stuff.
We show all the figures. If there's any differences, just tell us, so we've got the figures. I don't want to chase you up, but are you up? But let's be effective with our presentation.
I will.
Thank you.
This is Nelly Shesi. She's my head of budgeting. I'm sorry. This is my provincial accountant general's Ms. Singh, and Samisa Magagula is our HOD. I just wanted to, because I really thought it was important, just to quickly go through three major issues that National Treasury have raised. The first one is the Department of Health. The Department of Health is of extreme concern to KZN. Provincial Treasury has gone in with a Section 18 intervention into supply chain management. So with immediate effect, we are now in control of all SEM processes in the Department of Health. Our intervention covers four specific areas. Firstly, obviously, it's procurement. The breakdown in controls goes all the way down to district hospital level. The other issue is the machinery. We are doing a complete investigation into the maintenance of machinery and making sure that these machines are being maintained constantly, and if new machines need to be bought, that's the second intervention. The third intervention is the very big one, which is the accruals, which is over R1 billion. And we are already doing a verification process on those accruals. Some of the bills go back to 2009, quite shockingly. We are now addressing that issue. And the last issue is internal control, where my internal audit unit is going in to strengthen the internal controls in the Department of Health. This intervention obviously is going to require money. The money is going to come from Provincial Treasury. It's going to be in excess of R300 million. But the intervention, it's not an operational, it's not additional operational budget. It's to turn the situation around in the Department of Health, and this entire amount will be under the control of Provincial Treasury. Turning to the Department of Education, I have a very big concern with the Department of Education because of we have noticed at Provincial Treasury we are engaging with both Education and the Premier at a very high-level intervention with respect to their compensation of employees. They are not on top of their compensation of employees budget. In fact, they want to employ a whole lot more when they are unable to prove to Provincial Treasury that they can even fund their current employees. We are dealing with that in MinComBud tomorrow, and we are insisting that proper controls will go in place. If there is an intervention required by Provincial Treasury, we will do so. But at the moment, Department of Education are staying within budget, but there are a lot of pressures on their budget because of the staff issue. The Girl Child, it's a very, very good initiative. Unfortunately, Mr. Chair, they don't have the money to do it, but they're doing it anyway. So, you know, it's a decision they've taken, but they've taken it without having the adequate resources to pay for it. But I really do think it's an excellent program. Yeah. COPTA, the Isinduna. This is something that, Mr. Chairman, you will know that we have raised not once, about every single budget council I have attended since I have been in office, which is the payment of the Isandune as an unfunded mandate that's come from national treasury, not national government, through national COCTA. We've had to reach the decision of starting to pay them, and we started paying them from December last year. The budget for the 17-18 financial year is in the region of 200 odd million, shared in half over the MTEF, half shared between all departments, and half paid for by COCTA, but that's only over the MTEF, placing additional pressure on big departments like the Department of Health and Education. What is of great concern to me is that, what about the 1.5 billion rand back pay? And national, and we really need your assistance. National are not coming to onto the table on this. You know, they passed this traditional bill without any funding. And we this has been raised from the inception when the Pravin Gordhan, the Honourable Pravin Gordhan, was the Minister of Finance the first time round. We raised the matter with him when he was the Minister of COCTA, and we raised it again when he was the Minister of Finance again. It's been shoved to one side, and it's a very big concern to us. And the other province that is affected very badly by this is Limpopo, because we have the majority. We're looking at about over 3,000 Isandune that need to be paid. And even in the definition, which is why there's an audit query, because we cannot give a proper definition of what an Isandune is in KZN, and hence an audit query on what are the basis on which we are paying these people. But I'm just being upfront and honest with you, and we would very, very much like your assistance at national level to please help us in our fight on this matter. And you, as I said, you've heard it often at Budget Council. I would now like to hand over to my HOD, who will briefly take us through the very comprehensive document before us. We won't go into much detail. As the chairman has said, you have read the figures. He will hone in on areas which are pertinent for this discussion.
HOD, just before you start, well, thank you, MEC. And yes, you are in the right structure. The NCOP is positioned to assess problems. And that's our mandate, not to fight with provinces, but to assist and to strengthen those ties and those links. This will be in the report, and coming to the way forward, that we have a joint meeting with that select committee dealing with this issue.
Tribal authority.
Yes. And then you call the executive member of cabinet to be present as well. Very interesting members. Listening to the MEC KZN Section 18 of the PFMA, Free State, Northern Cape, so the Department of Health is under pressure. And the question that we have to deal with, what is the effect of fiscal consolidation on health and education, those huge departments in every province, but also for the national department? HOD, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and good afternoon to the honorable members. I'm going to go through this presentation very quickly, as the Chairperson has requested that I do so. But overall, the contents of the presentation are really as per the letter that was submitted from the committee to us in terms of the format that we need to follow. So we then quickly just look at what we call our provincial growth and development strategy, and really have got 7 goals that are there, and then each strategic goal has several strategic objectives, 31 objectives to be exact. The vision of our province is that we want it to be a prosperous province with a healthy, secure, and skilled population, living in dignity and in harmony, acting as a gateway to Africa and the rest of the world. So I'm not going to go through this, honorable members. It's fairly self-explanatory. So for each strategic goal, we then have strategic objectives. There are 31 of them, as you'll see on the right-hand side of that slide. Each talking to each and every goal, there's a strategy, or there's more than one, strategic objective, there's more than one, as you can see, for all the areas of interest from the seven goals that we have, the last one being the spatial equity in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. We then track using various indicators each and every strategic objective that you see in there. And we've organized ourselves within the government in KZN around what we call action work groups that then, based on several indicators per strategic objective, then tracks each of those indicators in terms of how far we are with that with that particular objective, and so you will then really get a report on average that goes to cabinet, presented. This is how far we've gone. How are we doing with employment in the province? Are we on target? Are we behind target? How is our agricultural sector's output looking like? Are we on target? Are we behind target? And so on and so forth. This is just an overview of the timeline since we started with the planning commission in the province. How it started, we started with a situational analysis in 2011, and then it goes all the way up to having our own provincial growth and development plan. Further timelines, and then these are just examples, honorable members, of the progress that we track for each and every one of those strategic goals. We report on the progress on the right-hand side. I'll leave members to read through it. Some areas we're doing fairly well. In some areas, we really do fall short, and part of the reason why in certain areas we fall short obviously has a lot to do with the current economic climate that we face. Let me then go quickly to the actual numbers, honorable members. So here, this section deals with unauthorized, irregular, and wasteful expenditure. Let me just quickly say that these are unaudited numbers, honorable members. As you know, the Auditor General is now in departments doing the audit until the end of July, if I'm not mistaken, so we'll get the audit figures. But on average, there's never been a large variance between these numbers and the audited numbers. So you really can take these ones as a good reflection of what the outcome of the financial year looked like.
And yeah, your sentence at the bottom is quite interesting.
On page 12.
Yes. Yes, indeed, indeed. Basically, all it means is that most departments really are operating within their budget, meaning that there is a decrease of unauthorized expenditure from 49% decrease. It means I'm assuming honourable members have a good sense of what unauthorized expenditure is, and so the reduction of that really means that we all are operating within a budget. Now. Honourable members, this is the shocker that we have, and we put it
that's
to you.
Even
that
more, that's even more interesting.
This is really a shocker that we've got. But on the issue of human settlements, I think there's an explanation there. You will see it in the next slide. But that will definitely do so, honourable chairperson. In fact, maybe let's go to the explanation, but you can see the departments highlighted in red are the ones that are really responsible for this huge jump in irregular expenditure. And the graph depicts precisely the same message. Now, here are the reasons that result into this thing. As you will know, honorable members, human settlement enters into contracts with municipalities for the delivery of houses. Now, when the Auditor General then, and the municipalities are sort of the implementing agents, so they run the processes, they run the SCM, they run everything else. When the AG comes to audit human settlements as a department in the province, they then can't find from municipalities, they can't find those documents, those SCM documentation around the human settlement development program that human settlements at the provincial level manages. That's the real reason why you have such a huge jump in irregular expenditure. And the AG, all the AG says is that, well, you transfer the money to these municipalities, you must have the documentation on how they procure the services. When human settlements goes to the municipalities don't have the document, and therefore the expenditure is declared irregular. Health has a problem of a different kind in a sense that the Auditor General is not happy with how health runs its contracts. Most of them, the big contracts in the Department of Health, have expired. And so they are run on a month-to-month basis. And the AG doesn't take kindly to that kind of an arrangement. Hence what the MEC said earlier on, that we're going to try and regularize and have some fixed term contracts that health will have to embark upon. But it's going to take a while because you've got to itemize certain areas that you think are critical in health. Do you want, for example, equipment is one such contract that you want to have, and package it such that such that the maintenance is built into the program. What has been a problem in health, that they buy the machines, for example, outright. 5 years later, the equivalent of a motor plan, if you have a motor car, expires, then the machine breaks down, and then you've got to fix it yourself. Now, those machines aren't Mickey Mouse, and even the light bulb of some of these machines is like R1 million or something. And so you then end up with a machine that you can't really fix quickly because you have no funding, for example. But if you contract such that the maintenance is pass and perfect for the duration of it, then you obviate the problem of a downtime time of a machine in the department. Transport really surprised all of us, honorable members. but what happened in transport, the Auditor General went back a number of years, and as you can see, I think transport, their unauthorized is $4 billion. The AG went back several years. But then only to declare the unauthorized in these figures. But it is multi-year contracts dating back some years ago. It is really a problem because all it means is that maybe the HG was not focusing on that at the point, or would just zoom into a particular year and look at transport. But this time around, they had to go back. Part of it, honourable members, is that there's been quite a bit of fraudulent activities that have been uncovered in health that date back the number of years, and some recoveries to a tune of about $500 million already have taken place in that department. So I think that's what made HG to want to go back and track the other contracts in previous years. Other reasons, honourable members, that result in irregular expenditure, they also still around supply chain management. It's the issue of the three quotations. Sometimes departments proceed with procuring. If they have requested three quotations and only one quotation comes back, and you can prove that you asked for three but only one came back, what do you then do? Do you still go back and still go back and still go back? We don't really know, but the Auditor General will identify that as an irregular as well. Even if you prove that you asked for three and there's proof that you sent quotations to three potential service providers, that's one. The other one is the abuse of the 16A6.4 provision in the Treasury regulations, which talks about the emergency procurement. That is there. We really can't hide. So everything sort of becomes an emergency when it shouldn't. It should be subjected to the normal SCM processes. Now, departments also use implementing agents, honorable members. Now, if you use an implementing agent, the implementing agent runs its own processes. You can't say to the AG, it's them, because you transferred the money as a particular department. Education does that. I think they use what is ITT by and large, and so on and so forth. So this is one other area. And then the other area that results in this is that service providers would have no tax clearance certificates, but they still get awarded the work, or they have expired. This is really just flaunting the rules at times. I have to say that outright. Then there's also an issue of overtime, no authority, but people do take overtime and claim for it without proper authority, and then the AG would also identify that expenditure as irregular. That's the long and the short of it, honorable members, on this particular thing. Then on the fruitless and wasteful, 89% decrease in this, so that's a good picture. Now, on the revenue side, honourable members, this table shows the revenue per vote from 1 up to 15, and then the next table is the same table but displayed as per economic classification. Then the narrative is in slide number 20. And we just say here that that the bulk of our own revenue as KZN really comes from the motor vehicle license fees administered by the Department of Transport, followed by the health station fees, the casino taxes, and the horse racing. This function moved from Treasury. It used to be within Treasury, now it's in the office of the Premier. And so the province basically had a 5.2% over collection as far as its own revenue is concerned, 158 million rand. And then the departments responsible for that over-collection, they are listed there, Transport, Education, Office of the Premier. Provincial Treasury, however, under-collected, and that really has a lot to do with the cash in the bank. It's been declining over years since we had our first share of equitable share reductions, and so our cash in the bank has reduced. Our interest earnings aren't as good anymore. Agriculture was under-collected, and largely because of the keeping of the fees for their agricultural colleges at 0% increase. That's one of the reasons. Now, I think for health, honourable members, I will move because I think we sort of have a good sense of the challenges facing the department. I think the MEC has really indicated, but here we really just try to paint a picture about what are the challenges and problems in health. And also the issues around general revenue management in the province. We discovered at a point, honourable members, that we were at a point it became the most expensive province to register a vehicle. We decided, no, let's not increase this annually that much. So we've kept the increases now below inflation, and as a result, we are now at least the fourth largest. We're losing a lot of revenue because is there anybody from the Eastern Cape here? They would go and register their vehicles, particularly these large fleet owners. They will register all the telecom cars. You will see Eastern Cape, and but they operate in other provinces because the Eastern Cape was the cheapest.
Never seen so much GP cars in Kimberley in my life.
Yeah. But anyway, let's then, honourable members, turn to the expenditure aggregates in here. I mean, overall, as the numbers between National Treasury and ours are really identical. There's absolutely nothing different. We ended up the financial year with 319.5 million rands and expenditure on 99.7% expenditure. That really is as good as you really can get. And I think we do say here that this is the sixth year now that this province has really had a deviation from budget of within less than 1%.
I think it's the best in the nine provinces.
Yes, in terms of the spending,
they're
the highest.
but at a micro scale, then, honourable members, we just look at each department. Generally, 15 departments did understand their budget, and I think I wouldn't want to repeat what Ukhalale Seng has already dealt with, Chairperson. But maybe I think I would probably just want to talk a bit about health, even though MEC also spoke about it. As she said, we really do have an issue. As much as we have an overall underspending in health, we actually don't have it in reality. The accruals are a real problem, and the infrastructure liability that's there is a real problem. The medical legal claims are a real problem in the department that we'll need to solve. So we are hoping that with our support in that department, something will give. But the challenges are a lot bigger. At a point, and I think that's why it was easy for the MEC to provide that support in financial terms to the Department of Health, because we do acknowledge that they can't do it on their own any longer because of the demands that are there. In the system itself. So the rest of the slides, honourable members, just really narrate in very detail the changes that took place between at the program level and quite frankly, I wouldn't want to bother you with this very, very detailed, to a point of talking to each program, Central Hospital Services, Health Science, Training, and so on, the environment that the department undertook, post adjustments, and I would rather I spare you that detail. Then, summarizing health, I think there's overall budget pressures in this department. There's poor asset management in health, and you can appreciate if you know a bit of KZN where some of these health facilities are. And some are even in areas where there isn't even proper electricity supply. and no connectivity, as it were. So even to use IT and try and sort this thing out doesn't solve the problem in its entirety. So some of the assets can't quite be properly verified. Accruals we've spoken about, 1.3 odd, that is at the last count. Obviously, these are disputed. Some of the invoices have been challenged because it looks like some were already paid by the department at the point, but the service providers are disputing that and so on and so forth. SCM capacity is a problem. In that department, you really need a very strong supply chain management component to deal with all the transactions because of the magnitude. Internal controls, an important missing link in the department, missing in the sense that there's only a couple of people that perform this function in a department as big as health. Increasing medical legal claims, I think rural provinces are really in trouble in here.
That was an issue last year as well. The Honourable Martha Shuping still made a recommendation on this legal claims. Yes.
Remember your question last year.
Yes. No, Honourable Members, I'm happy you are alive to this emergence of another industry that the legal fraternity is abusing. So, but at least that our it really is abusing this, Honourable Member. So, we're discussing this at a technical committee on finance meeting coming to really deal with it and see how we can learn, particularly from the Western Cape. The Western Cape has a very, very good model. It really manages the legal claims better than any other province, and you are willing to share. They are willing to share that with us. Let's then maybe just quickly move to education, Honourable Members. The department, as we were said, understand, but the problem is that education understand on the NSP NSNP grant by 106. 15 million rand, and that really is a problem. So they may have used the money for something else, the money for the NSNP. We'll see what the AG says about it at the end of the audit, but that's the real challenge that we really have in here. Now, on the economic classification, Okhala spoke about the compensation of employees decreased by 271, and probably it's the time that the department will find a different baseline for compensation of employees and then channel that amount of money that was underspent in compensation of employees into some other pressure areas. They've got quite a bit of pressures in the department that they can then utilize that saving. Now, this is further narrating all the changes that have taken place post-adjustments, and as I said, with health, Honourable Members, I really wouldn't bother you too much with this detail, but it's there for the record for you to see, and that's all under education. On the infrastructure, really, we're really still bang on budget in here, 100% or slight over finish of under half a million rands. In the province. This is obviously on aggregate, as it were. The over expenditure occurred in the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development and also in the Department of Education, 32 million rands. Human settlements, likewise. Transport showed an under expenditure of 25.8 million rands. This is just a pie chart indicating the percentage share of each kind of infrastructure, the economic infrastructure taking 62% of the total infrastructure budget of 12 billion rands that was allocated in the 16-17 financial year. This looks at the type within the infrastructure cluster, whether we're talking existing assets or new assets. And I think the trajectory here is a good one because there's always this eagerness in government to build new things and forget the ones that you already have in terms of their maintenance. So that split, in our view, is really a good one, that the amount of investment goes to existing infrastructure assets as opposed to the new ones. And we then list a few of these projects, Honourable Members, that are big that we have in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. might not know this, but if you Google, you will find some of these roads somewhere in the map. Honourable members, the rest is really on the economic classification side of things, but really the same numbers in terms of the actual outcome. As you'll see, the bottom figure indicating the percentage spent, which is 99.7, was the same as when we looked at the votes themselves. So I'm reluctant to also just go into detail in here, but the real issue here is that generally now in the province, largely because of the moratorium, chairperson, that's there, and the mechanism that we've put in place to try and rein in on the wage bill in the province. I think that's why you're seeing quite a bit of savings being derived from compensation of employees. You'll see some savings also from machinery, and it is also linked to it, because when you don't employ people, you don't spend money on tools of the trade, which we classify as machinery and equipment. Conditional grants, this is a list of all the conditional grants that the province has. As I said earlier on, the grant that underspent was the NSNP grant, and a request for a rollover has been submitted to National Treasury. I'm sure you would have received this by now, so we will hear from you what happens. Then I'm nearing the end, honourable members. We now talk accruals, and then we for all departments, and then we then talk the cash position of the province. Now this is a table. I don't know how different it would be from yours, Okhaleka, but I think it's exactly the same table that she presented earlier. And these are the accruals, and the biggest is health at 1.3 billion rands, as we've already spoken about. Some departments, it's a small one. Let me explain the COCTA one, honourable member, so you understand. I think there was a hint on it, but because of the pressure as a result of the proclamation that the review committee that reviews the salaries of the public office bearers made a recommendation, such a determination, that we have to pay that sector of the public service that is called Izinduna. KZN has a lot more of those, I think, followed by the Eastern Cape and probably Limpopo. Now, we've tried to deal with this matter at a national level, because we still do believe that it is a mandate that is really unfunded. And I've got to say it, Honorable Chairperson, determining salaries must be based on the budget available. So this was done, so ended up having to pay Izinduna, and we had to do a whole lot of permutation in our own provincial budget to start at least paying them. But there always was a back pay, because this thing was effective some couple of years back. So that is what the AG has requested COCTA then to put on their books as accruals. Because we've started paying them, we've automatically accepted the liability in its entirety. So we'll have to go back and also honor the campaign. Right. Then on the cash side of things, we still remain positive, and this chart really tracks over the years how KZN has been. You'll see how we were in years gone by, 2010, constantly in the red and servicing the overdraft. But then we introduced our own fiscal austerity measures in the province. By 2010 May, we never looked back, and we really have been able to manage our cash. But obviously, the balances on a daily basis now are reducing because of our reduction in our equitable share allocation. And I mean, we would sit pretty within 5 odd billion rand at a point in time. Now it's averaging 2 and 3 billion rand, but it's still a positive. A positive story to tell, and we'll continue doing so. and the Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much. I hope I hadn't taken so much time. Thank you.
Thank you, HOD, MEC.
Now that I've got a captive audience, I wanted to talk about what's been happening, which ends us up into this problem like the Izinduna, and it's still happening. is that we did enter into an intergovernmental dispute. Just so that you know, when that proclamation was signed in to pay, and that's not, it's not head, it's not Isanduna, it's headman, and that's the, there's a big issue in KZN what the definition of headman is. Is it Isanduna? But there was no treasury certificate. So a piece of legislation gets passed without a treasury certificate. So there's no treasury certificate costing that proclamation. Right now, my colleague in COCTA has showed me another piece of legislation that is coming on the table again without costing being done, where all of the chiefs or the in Corsi are now asking for tools of trade, which could amount anything up to maybe 800 million in our province. Again, no treasury certificate. She's actually asked for it to be removed from her MinMec agenda. But it doesn't end there in terms of these treasury certificates. I wrote to the former MEC Minister of Finance. I have got a response from Minister Gagaba. But the DPSA circulars. The DPSA circulars, which improve the quality of the services for public servants. We have no problem in what DPSA is trying to achieve. But we worked out, I'm not joking, it cost us in the region of about 6 billion rand to implement these DPSA circulars. No money. We've got to find it from within our own budget. And following my letter to Minister Gagaba, who's taking it up with the Minister of Public Services. And administration. You know, we're saying, cost these things. Don't just, because they send, what happens is, the way it happens is that they send provinces a circular and say, people within this level have to be paid or have to be on training or have to get this or have to get that or extra medical aid or some kind of well-being training. That's fine. They don't cost it, and they leave it to us to cost and pay for, and it's huge amounts of money. And I'm very happy, Mr. Chairman, if you want me to give you, to send to your committee the breakdown that we did in KZN of what these DPSA circulars cost our province. Because if you and you know, and again, these things, we're almost talking to ourselves. But every single time, you know, we're sitting in fiscal consolidation. If it was just fiscal consolidation, I think we could just manage to cope. But all these additional other pressures, we are now not at the bone, we're at the marrow, where we don't know where to find money to help departments because of all of these. And if you do not, for example, on the DPSA circulars, if you do not abide by them, you are in contravention. And the public servants can take you to court, and the unions can take you on. So this is serious for provinces.
It's a matter for national exco.
Yeah.
Mrs. Karekwa, I hope you made this note because somewhere on the 14th of July, Budget Council, this must be addressed. Coming back to what I said in the beginning, that we have a joint meeting, that these ministers are present, and we give them a time frame to report back to the joint committees. Let the NCP then monitor what's going on, and let's get progress. But not every time talk about the same thing. Then we are stagnant. We must be proactive. Thank you for mentioning this MEC and putting it on the table. Definitely we will do our best to assist you. All the members, are there questions? I've got three of them, but I'm going to start with the honorable members. The good news is the own revenue of 3.1 billion rand. They are in the same category as Gauteng and Western Cape, collecting own revenue. I wish my province was in this category, but it's not. Members, let's start here with Northwest. Okay, shipping, Terblanche. Esak, Dr. Mateme. In that order? You may, mine is. Slide 15, slide 37, slide 39. Action plans. If you are going to address us on action plans, you're going to take 60 minutes. I want you to follow that. You can mention what you are doing shortly, but what is the action plan addressing what you told us in that slide? Slide 15, slide 37 and 39.
You can come sit here.
Come sit here.
No.
He's coming back. Just went to the office.
It's fine. I would have finished it with you. Chairperson, thanks. Good afternoon, honorable members and colleagues. Let me start by welcoming the presentation. I have at least read the documents the way distributed on time. My up and down doesn't count so much because I think you were presenting the document that I managed to go through. Chairperson, firstly, out of interest, I just want to ask the Department of Treasury in the KZN, what is the audit outcome that they received? The audit outcome that you received. Treasure. No, you will answer. Chairperson, on slide number 12 of Treasury, it's indicated that the province has underspent with that amount due to non-filling of posts. Now this is, South Africa is faced with a triple challenge of unemployment, poverty, and inequality. And if people are not filling posts and they are budgeted, funded posts, it will give us a problem, and we must get an indication why are the posts not filled and if they are critical posts. That's why. There's an under expenditure on COEs in terms of this document that I'm having. I'm still on Treasury. If Treasury could explain to us what is it that is happening. Now, I know that this year, on the same, again, page, that there was a new grant that was introduced in terms of ECDs. What is the performance of this province insofar, because you are talking about the infrastructure here? What is the performance of the department insofar as this grant is concerned, and if they received it? You have also underspent on training and development. And this is a concern to the country. They say we've got a skill shortage, and you still underspend. Can you give an explanation as to why you are underspending on this critical aspect? You are not paying contractors on time. Does this imply that the 30 days is not being complied with? In terms of the slide here, the summary of observation and fiscal risk, because this is one way of destroying our SMMEs. If they are not paid on time, if they are not, it collapses their businesses. And tomorrow we say, these people cannot manage their businesses. They buy cars when they get money, but we know that we are not paying them. the discontent amongst medical professionals. You have been on the news, KZN Health, for the past days. You were on the news, and it's very negative. You think because it's with regard to poor working conditions. Nobody wants to work in the conditions that are not conducive. That environment is not able to attract the required professionals to perform their duties if there are poor working conditions that you are acceding to. If you could provide us with an explanation as to what that you are doing as a department or as a province to ensure that you attract the best skills. I have spoken about the on slide, these systems are numbered, others are not. Oh, no, no. What is this thing? These are too small.
13.
you are saying that you have deferred the procurement of essential machinery and equipment, such as generators. I know that in hospitals, generators are used as an alternative means. So does it imply that as the electricity goes off, the lives of people are at risk as a result of you not purchasing these necessary machineries and providing alternative means of electricity? Let me come to your document, but I'm strictly going to speak about your irregular expenditure too much, because it's alarming, the your irregular expenditure. One area before SI page, you know, you go to town explaining issues around three departments: transport, health, where is this thing now? But in the figures that you provided, I realized something on let me start first with fruitless so that you follow it correctly. The Department of Education in fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and you alluded nothing to it. My little arithmetic, 7,480 and 141,588, is alarming, and I thought you would reflect on it in terms of your unauthorized, irregular, but with concern to fruitless and wasteful expenditure on education. It's very alarming. I will go straight to irregular expenditure. I'm not sure the authenticity of the table that you provided. Maybe it's a typing error here. You know, am I right that we've got the Premier Education Public Works on that slide of irregular expenditure? Social development, arts and culture, provincial treasury, legislature, agriculture, economic development. And then you continue with community safety, household. Is that all that you have written? Are we on the same page here? And there's no transport. And you have a total here. But this one, I'm questioning the authenticity and the information that you have provided. Transport is not here in terms of irregular expenditure. Is this total that you have given us authentic? Because in the slide that I'm having, you don't have the Department of Transport. But if you go to your explanation, you are alluding to the Department of Transport in terms of irregular expenditure. Are you with me? No, I'm just asking for clarity here, because you will respond. Transport is not here, but there is an explanation about transport on the other page, on slide 15. You're talking about human settlement, health, and transport. Transport is not reflected on the graph that you provided of the departments that... So I'm questioning myself. Is this a true picture and a true total that we have calculated?
Remember, you must start wrapping up.
No, I've got many questions, but let me leave to my other colleagues, because, Chairperson, you're intimidating me.
No, I'm not intimidating you. You did your homework very, very well.
No, the issue is...
I'm giving you another minute.
Yeah. The issue is, ladies and gentlemen, we're asking you this question because we want to help the department. We want to help provinces to resolve its problems and challenges. And that is why it is important that when you are invited, you know, all provinces, in terms of the schedule that we sent to them, they were able to come on the scheduled time that we gave provinces in advance. But it was very difficult to get KZN, and I think I must make that note, and it's very disturbing. We must respect Parliament. Thank you.
We'll go to Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. To a large extent, I was covered already now by my previous colleague, but I also want to start, well, let me start by saying that KZN is a province of first and, you know, records. It's the first time, or one of the very few provinces that really, you know, appeared before us that managed to spend their budget just about to the cent. Then again, I think it's the very first department that got here that managed to get this capital spending spent. That is also a first, I think. But then, very alarming, you know, I was just about to start, you know, celebrating before, you know, when we get to this irregular and wasteful expenditure. This is a serious problem, Chairperson, really. And I mean, you know, to the extent that serious intervention, I think the HOD asked, you know, whether they should intervene. I don't know who asked that, but serious intervention is needed. We cannot leave it at this. Really, we can't. Something needs to be done. Then it's also quite obvious that in some areas in KZN, they have serious problems procurement-wise. Their supply chain management, you know, areas or responsible people, apparently, you know, quite often they are falling apart. So that is stuff that needs to be done. And I mean, you know, my question is, you also, I think you already alluded to that, what have they done? That is my question. What have they done? You know, it's no use them telling us here that we have a problem. I want to know what you've done. And obviously, what is the impact of that? That is something, you know, I think that we need to get. Then also, it was also mentioned that in some cases or instances, apparently, or it indicates to some, you know, criminal activity. And my question is, how many cases have been reported? What are the results of that? Have people been charged for offenses? What happened? What are you about your internal processes? Have you charged people departmentally? Are people being trained? Because really, you know, serious intervention is needed. And yes, I am from the Western Cape, and the HOD referred to that. You know, apparently they need to get some help from the Western Cape. You know, if you go to them, they are the best performing department in terms of irregular and wasteful expenditure. So that is something that they could really maybe show you a little bit of ropes how that can be done. Thank you, Chairperson.
You can ask him to brag. I mean, should we do?
Yes.
Honorable Issa.
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. Chairperson, a lot has been covered and said between my two previous colleagues, and so I don't want to amplify what they've been saying. It's just, you know, simple questions come to mind. The last 2 years' reports that you've presented, nothing drastically different from where the situation was and where it's going. Bottom line is, my question is, what do you do with the Auditor General's reports when you get them? What do you do with these reports from 1 year to the next year to the following year? How serious, you know, is the province about the Auditor General's reports in terms of correcting? And then, you know, just for example, the contracts that you talked about earlier in your presentation, you know, you need to amplify, and if you don't have the replies now, it's quite understandable that, you know, you can always forward it to us. But in terms of the contracts that are now running on a month-to-month basis, what is the way forward? What is the urgency behind it? I've heard the motivation that something is being done about it. What's the timeline? When are you going to pull the plug and draw the line and say, tot hier en nie meer nie? So that's what I needed to know. And then, you know, the deviations between the impractical versus the emergency. Who decides these things? Because they're just escalating. They're just going year on year on year. Who decides who takes responsibility? Who does the buck stop with? Why are there simple things like supply chain management issues of fewer than three quotations being obtained? Why are there fewer than three quotations being obtained? It's just like a no-brainer. It's a simple issue before, you know, anybody authorizes or signs off on something. And if you don't mind, on slide 34, you know, you showed an enormous amount of money being spent on exit costs on employees, on staff, on slide 34 at your bottom last paragraph. The exit costs on staff, which is just money going down the drain. But you look at it, slide 34, it's there. Slide 47 was alluded to. Slide 58, yeah, okay. Chairperson, I think I'm going to stop there. Thank you so much.
Dr. Matem.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I'm kind of depressed, actually. One gets the impression that, we are not as the NCOP, we are not the first line of defense in making sure that government, let me say, good governance, we really aren't the first line of defense. My question would be, do we have portfolio committees in the province? Do we? If we have, what impact are they making on the services? Because some of the challenges, Chairperson, should not be coming on to us. We should be focusing on those matters which are beyond the province. All the issues, challenges covered here, Chair, is my belief. Where I come from, almost 20 years in committees, this would be a no-no. Supply chain. The Honorable Member has covered me. Over the weekend, it was KwaZulu-Natal in the media, left, right, and center. I hoped that was not going to be true when we come to a meeting like this one. Now, it is proven to be true, Chairperson. And the story of the oncologist, only one we had, and we had to throw in the towel and abandon our people. Chairperson, how does the province defend itself against such unacceptable practices, Chairperson? More than 20 years on, really, it's unacceptable. It is unacceptable, Chairperson. It's unacceptable. I would wish This is Treasury. I also wish maybe the Premier were here to hear us that we don't get the impression that the portfolio committees in his province are equal to the task. That is a very sad situation. And I hope, Chair, next time when the department or the province comes here, we will get better pictures. What we're seeing here really cannot convince anybody that we are 20 years plus in office. Thank you.
To recognize Honorable Gaila.
Thank you, Joseph. I'm sorry, I want to attend to some matters. Page 13, Office of the Premier. Can you explain to us, you come from 39, million, is it, yeah? And 2016-17, 5.44. What is happening there? The irregular expenditure. Can you explain to us what is really happening in the Premier's office? And secondly, on page 15, I think, 15, you are saying to us, because we deal with municipalities, sometimes the contract documents are coming late and so and so and so. My understanding for contract documents is as follows. First of all, there's no contract that will go on site before he signs the contract document. And when he goes on site maybe 21 days after signature. That's a normal practice, Chairperson. Now, between that time, why is it then that you don't get the contract document before the contractor goes on site? No contractor can go on site unless he signs the contract document. And according to contract regulations, he goes on site 21 days after. So then why then are you unable to get before he goes on site? Before you pay, in fact, you cannot transfer money without having a contract document. It's impossible to transfer. Why are you transferring money when you don't have a contract document? I need clarity on that one. The same applies with the progress payment on even on larger contracts. Even when you say the one contract goes over a period, whenever you transfer, before you even transfer payment to a service provider, the service provider has got to make a request, and your guy who's managing the contract is supposed to supply you the request. It happens like that in other provinces as well. Then, again, with what Honorable Isaac is saying, why three quotations? You can ask for even 10 quotations. Why do you need three quotations? And if you don't get, you say you get one from three, you should be requesting from service providers quotations. Whether they are 10 or 20, and then you select the three that you want. Why specifically three quotations? If you can explain us that. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members, for the questions. I take you to the research document. Thank you, Esther, that she prepared page 4, referring to the audit outcomes, that you take note of that as well. Dr. Matema, you made a very important point, the role of the committees in the provincial legislature. This came up in all the meetings we had up till today with the 9 provinces. They have to look deeper into issues. And my question is, at what level is the research unit in that legislature to assist MPLs to look deeper into it? There's an APEC workshop 7 and 8 August in Cape Town. Although Scott was a member of the APEC management those years. And we went through training sessions where Professor Christina Murray coached us and Shahid Faki, who's then the Auditor General, and we got a certificate. Yes, I've got mine still in my office. The point is we must go deeper into matters. And that's why I'm asking for the action plan. Because your second page after your analysis should have been, what's my action plan? Addressing these issues. Where do you get it? You get it in the AG's report. The findings that you just rewrite into an action plan.
That's what I'm saying.
It's there already. You must just reconfigure
the
thing. That brings me to quarterly reports. You see? You've got a patient on the table. Do you only see him at the end of the year, or does this patient go every year? Checkups. You give the remedy, the medicine. So that's where we must change our mind thinking. Do things differently, as the Honorable Gotham said when he was the Minister of Finance. Parking there, MEC, HUD. Over to you.
I'm going to try and answer as quickly as possible, being mindful of the time that you have given us. Well, I have to leave in 15 minutes. The clean audits, this is the sixth year in a row that Provincial Treasury's had a clean audit. On the non-filling of posts, this is not just a question for KZN, it's a question to our Honourable President. All provinces were called into a meeting with the Minister of Finance and the President that we had to cut down compensation of employees in terms of the fiscal consolidation. The only posts that we are allowed to pass are the critical ones. That is happening. So, and the process that is followed is that it goes through to PERSAL, which is the Premier's department, to make sure, firstly, whether that critical post is on the organogram. And then it comes to Provincial Treasury to see whether there is money for that post over the MTEF. And that process is underway. Let me just deal with the health thing. Chairman, I actually think that I need to send you the full Provincial Treasury intervention into the Department of Health. It covers about six of the issues raised here. You know, particularly the non-paying of contractors. Provincial Treasury is intervening on that. We are intervening on the negative news. The oncologist issue is being dealt with directly by, and there's a very high-level group, myself, the Premier, and the MEC of Health, that are leading this process. The oncologists are being employed. We can get those details from the Department of Health as well. But many of the issues that were raised by the Honourable Member, the generators, you know, these contracts going on a month-to-month basis, we are going to be handling, and we have time frames, very strict time frames, in Provincial Treasury for addressing these issues, particularly the non-paying payment of contractors and the maintenance of machinery. If machinery, it's because of the non-maintenance of machinery that we are losing professional staff. Because what's the use of having an oncologist if there's no radiation machines? And this is the issue. So we have identified these issues. I have had very senior people in the Department of Health for nearly 8 months. We had to do an assessment before we could do an intervention. It's a huge department. It's a 49 billion rand department over a huge area. We've identified the problems. We are going in with real interventions, with real timelines. It also deals with the, you know, the oncologist thing. But let me forward the report that we delivered as an executive statement to the House last week. And we had a very, and from the executive statements in the legislature, our next step is to actually engage stakeholders. so that we can get them on board and we can actually thrash through these things together. But provincial treasury are in there, and we really are going to be turning things around. The other issue that I wanted to talk to you about, why not three quotations? Because we don't receive them. Sometimes there are specialist areas, and you call for quotations, and you do not get three because of the specialist nature of the job. And the question I have to give back to you, do we then not do it? And some of these, and you know, these could be, and it's particularly in the area of health, where it's specialist professions, where they need specialist services. And if there aren't people in KZN that can do it, and they only won tender, must we say, okay, well, we're not going to do that service because we haven't got three tender. We are engaging the AG on this matter. It's not that we don't ask for 10 or 20. We would love to get 30, but in some instances we get one. And we even re-advertise, and we still get one. So it's because of the specialist nature of the tenders concerned. I'm just trying to see if there's any other general one that I can deal with. The portfolio committees in Parliament, I really do think that you need to engage on a legislature level. Human settlement contracts, look, they've got a wake-up call, because human settlements were transferring money to municipalities and then sitting back. They now know that they are responsible for what the municipalities do. It's not just about transferring money to municipalities and thinking that that's where your responsibility ends. And the MEC for Human Settlement, it has come very sharply to his attention through the AG that he is 100% responsible for every single contract he enters into with the municipality. You will see a turnaround in the next audit. They've got the message. And yes, it's unacceptable that it happened. I totally agree with members. A lot of these issues that you've mentioned are unacceptable. And they come out in audits. And as provincial treasury, we engage. We don't just engage with the AG at once a year. We work with the AG throughout the year. We work with departments on their problems throughout the year. But if there's specific things that my HOD can manage.
Yes, thank you very much. I think, Chairperson, the plan that you are asking from financial management, I propose, Chair, if you allow us, because what we then do with the Auditor General's findings, we analyze it, not just the overall assessment that the AG would have done, but for each vote, there is a detail. Each department has a hell of a lot of detail, excuse my language on this one, that we then say, within Treasury, where do we then support, where to intervene, what would be priorities, bearing in mind, these departments have their own accounting officers, don't they?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And so there's so much that we can do, but they also need to take responsibility for running their own respective. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. You're right. No, you're right. And so...
81 to 86 tells us what to do.
Sure.
If they can't intervene.
That's why we're in health, Chairperson, as an example. But we can't be intervening in every department, then there will be no treasury in the end if we are in every department. And so I think what we'll do for you, Chairperson, from our financial management session, we're just going to give you a nice plan, because we always do it. We do it even for municipalities. Once the AG's report comes out, we then look at what we'll prioritize, where we will go, and why we go to that particular municipality or that particular department, and what it is that we're going to solve. A lot of these things, what happens is that the AG shifts, so the AG changes things that he audits. He doesn't stick around on one thing. If the AG stays, you will then see that the areas of transgression will disappear. But AG changes, because that's what the AG should do in any event. Example, the leave was a real issue at a point in a number of departments. It's no more. But AG no longer cares about it, because it's sorted, isn't it? And so, honorable members, you will always find a case where things look horrible, and then they will probably get better going forward. We accept the issue of irregular expenditure, especially for me in transport. It really took us by surprise, and something will have to be done. So the team will give you, Chairperson, the plan of how we plan to at least attempt to deal with this thing as the provincial treasurer. Honourable Member, transport is actually there. I think during the printing, it was blackened in your slide, but transport is in, if you look at the slide over there on that irregular expenditure tally, you will see transport. It was now the third red line. Can you see there? Now, I think when they were doing the copies, so it looks black on the slide, but it's actually there. The question Honourable Tebranje raised about irregular expenditure also, I think let's accept it, Honourable Members, that there is poor consequence management in government.
Mm-hmm.
Let us accept it and find a way to deal with it. Now, sometimes we as Treasurer can back all we want, but each department has an accounting officer, it's got an executive authority that needs to enforce consequences in cases of transgression. It doesn't happen as often as we'd want it to. More so if that transgression occurs at a very senior level. There's quietness and there's no swiftness in trying to arrest and deal with it. And basically, look, the public service is very clear about transgressions, and so is the PSMA. And it's very clear about what needs to be done. The question is whether we do it or we don't. Honourable Member asked about the powers of deviating, who decides to deviate. I think the PSMA assigns that role to the accounting officers to deal with the deviations and the approvals. I think the three quotation story the MEC has really dealt with. The exit, the staff exit costs, that's just normal people getting out of the public service that got to pay. That's all it really, really is. And it's not something that you cannot not pay. You've got to pay people. So you have your leave encashment, got to give you when you resign, when you leave the public service. We call them staff exit costs. So they leave the system. They're no longer public servants. So their pension, the works, everything else that comes.
Huge turnover. Certainly.
There are sectors, education and health, are very notorious for this. You remember when there was an issue about the pension changes and arrangements? A lot of them decided to cash in on their pensions and they left the system in droves, as it were. Look, Missy, I think you've dealt with most of the questions that the members have raised.
I have a request that I have promised you will get to the chairman before the end of the week. Except for that one, which we have to go back to do, but I want to get you the issue on...
I want to get you the one on the DPSA circulars, and I also want you to get you, and I'll send it directly to you, Chair, the health intervention with the timelines from Provincial Treasury.
Thank you. That will clear the picture for us. Other members, are there quick follow-ups? None? Dr. Matema.
Not necessarily a follow-up, but maybe just a suggestion. Maybe next time when Treasury comes, I assume there's a portfolio committee on Treasury. If the chairperson could come along and hear and listen to what we're saying here. Thank you.
It's
actually a very good proposal that we invite also the chairs of finance from the legislators to be present when the provinces appear before us. Thank you. It's a very good proposal.
Let's make sure that the reports are then forwarded to the secretariat.
Yeah, we'll come and it will be circulated.
Yeah, so that we can all get it. If it goes to the chairperson directly.
No,
he's a busy man.
Under backup secretary.
He's a busy man.
We do our work in that way. Honorable Gaylor?
On page 15, just for clarity, the use of implementing agents are not followed. Under other general categories, the use of implementing agents are not following process. Don't you have a roster, provisional roster for the implementing agents? Other provinces do have that.
A roster or a list?
We have a roster for that. In fact, you should have a roster for your implementing consultants, engineers, blah, 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 blah. Don't you have that in your province?
A
roster.
Mm-hmm.
A list
or
a roster?
On a positive note,
you
have the intention here. Not that we are coming to have you in our lives. We have you capacitated now. But you know, there's something that I'm saying that is very controversial. You know, KZN, congratulations. This is this because in the last meeting from Twitter that you and Mpumalanga are spending so well on your mission. To the extent that you are number one in terms of spending with the country, the rest of the country must also come and lend from you.
I'm sure that can be arranged.
You get that.
Yeah. Not a problem.
Because that's the ANC run problem.
Keep spending, fruitless or not.
Still, yeah.
Just keep spending, not a problem.
We had a briefing by the National Treasury on the urban settlements grant spent by Metrics. And some of the figures were quite devastating. And coming from that meeting, going to the 2nd of August, we are meeting with Metrics. Maybe Treasury can, the provincial Treasury can also zoom into that. Receiving a briefing on the 1st of August by the National Treasury, Mrs. Malacheng, that will be here. It's going to be a very important meeting. For the 1st and the 2nd of August to the Preparation Secretary and to Finance, that we invite the Chairs of Finance of the Legislators to also be here to get that presentation at Parliament, if they can be here. Last question, seeing the initiative driven by the President, Minister of Finance, National Treasury, the CEO initiative, is what is happening in your province, your engagement with the private sector. Is it sectorial or is it falling under this umbrella? We call it the CEO initiative. Why? The private sector come in and assist government to grow the economy.
Chairperson, there's a program, I'm sure you'll soon hear about it not so long from now, that the MEC for Economic Development, Environmental Affairs and Tourism is driving, called Operation Vula. And an element of it actually is in the agriculture space. Not so long ago, in fact, if not yesterday, there was a launch. In that launch of that program, you had not even just the CEOs of industry, but probably even the chairpersons of the groups in the private sector to see how they could partner with government. It's more project-based, if you know what I mean, chairperson, the way we deal with the private sector, or maybe program-based, instead of just a normal get together with CEOs and talk strategy and so on and so forth. It's very purposeful. It's directed at unleashing agriculture potential of the province, utilizing the captains of industry in that space to achieve transformation in agriculture. So we engage with them quite robustly in that space. In my cluster, which is the economic cluster, we do also the same. There are open sessions for the captains of industry to just engage with government, understand what government is really trying to do, and to drama a message that says together we can achieve more instead of us against them, as it were.
Thank you, MEC, for you and your team, for honoring this meeting, for your presentation. Members, I take you back to the oversight visit we had in KZN. We visited Yosini area, North KZN, which was very, very dry at that stage, like this. There was nothing. And they got rain. There was a bulk water supply program running, taking water to villages, for people that haven't had water for years. So that's part of the good story.
And that's where we have to have our hands on the steering wheel. That's our responsibility as not only MPs, MPLs, but also those serving in the EXCO. And thank you for the role the Honourable MEC is playing, coming from where she was as a chair of finance, now MEC for finance. So we come a very long way, the two of us. Thank you for that. We're going to release you. A safe trip back. We're going to do our housekeeping matters on the agenda. I want the members that we adjourn at least 4:15 because the staff must catch their buses and taxis at 4:30. Finance still have a set of minutes to do and something else. Yeah. All the members, let's carry on. We've got a set of minutes to deal with. Mr. Rentu, that's the 21st of June. The Ombud for Financial Services, consideration and adoption of outstanding committee minutes, 21st of June, 10 o'clock in the morning was the meeting. I put the honourable members, it was circulated, page 1. Please. Just look at your names, apologies, absent, etc. I put the members, page 2. I think that was a very good engagement.
This is the one on the face ombudsman.
Page 2, honourable members. And I put to members page 3. I put the minutes of the 21st of June to the honourable members. A mover for adoption is honourable Motla Shuping, honourable Isaac. Isaac, a second. Today is 28/6/7. Thank you, members. That brings me to the to another matter. We have been invited by APEC. I'll take members back to 2014. We were also invited by APEC. They also have cost containment, so last year the program was a bit cut down. For a training in Cape Town on the 7th and 8th of August, we still don't know where in Cape Town, but seeing that we have accommodation in our villages, for those members that are interested, I can motivate you to attend this.
Sorry, sir, what date was that, sir?
Monday the 7th and Tuesday the 8th of August.
7th and 8th.
The 9th of August is a Wednesday, very important day for us. It's Women's Day.
Yeah, boy.
But actually, every day must be Women's Day.
Thank you.
Yes. My wife addresses me a lot on this one. But, right, 7 and 8 August, if you could indicate to Mr. Rento, I asked Mr. Rento to engage with APEC, what will be the cost implication be, because it will be reduced if we stay at our homes and just be transported to the venue where this activity will take place. Until on the 8th of August, they adjourn at 1 o'clock. So it's 1.5 days. It's 1.5 days. You must just indicate to Mr. Rento about that. Then, honorable members, we were invited to a meeting. Who are we? Myself, secretary, content advisor, Advocate Tau. I think he was there as well. A matter related to the Eastern Cape, coming from the committee, Select Committee on Petitions, documents addressed to the Honourable High Chairperson of the Select Committee on Economic and Small Business Development, referring to the matter of the Transkei Road Transport Corporation, a thing that dates back to 1994, way back. Now, when I read this document, I thought, why our finance court? But we went there. It's actually a legal issue. We were briefed on what was in front of us, and we requested the committee staff to go deeper into this, to go and do an analysis with the legal section, and then come back. So they must go and do some preparatory work, and then we will be informed again about the way forward. So I'm just sensitizing you. This is a matter that has been, that we were engaged in, because on page 2, there's a line, this specific committee and the select committee on finance.
Okay.
So that implicates National Treasury as well. So National Treasury is on board of this, to get their legal input as well, because this thing goes back many years, coming from the Eastern Cape. The Eastern Cape Provincial Legislature will be engaged. The Premier's Office will be engaged. The Provincial Treasury will be engaged. So it's quite a big
issue. Yeah.
Big issue. I'm just giving you this information, and we will be updating you on the latest developments. Mr. Rentu, Advocate Tau, are there something that we don't know, that we're supposed to know?
There's missing records on the pension
yes.
fund on retirement of the road, of the buses of the Eastern Cape.
Retirement of
we
the
had,
buses?
We had Alexandra Fox presenting. To present the people that were part of the pension fund and things. They
no,
some
how
way
are we going to solve this problem?
The treasurer won't be able to solve this problem. It's not. This thing is the takeover issue and the debt that was there that time. And it cannot be proved. The people know what are we going to do.
Now, you know we are put at a disadvantage. We are only reading documents. Yes. And I think we must do it the other way around. Because it is the documents, and when you engage with people, then you've got more inside check about the whole issue. It will be very unfair to us. We are going to be expected to engage in with the report that we are going to receive from the delegation. I'm not against the delegation, because we are but I'm saying the petition committee goes there later on and gets first-hand information. And I'm not sure, Chair, why yourself and the officials attended in the absence of the committee when the committee is expected at the end to make an intervention. That is my only concern.
Yeah, I received a note in the plenary. That's how I received it. It was a 12 o'clock meeting. There was no formal notice. I said I couldn't attend. I was co-chairing a workshop. Honourable Dr. Matema?
Chairperson, with due respect, I'm not sure which matter this one is, but please, before we embark on any action, you know, I'm informed that there is a delegation from the Eastern Cape that came to Parliament and parked on the Parliament precinct, something about pension or things like that. Now, I just would want our research unit here to go deep into this issue so that we do not go to the province and make the people all the more angry. Because several times, this part of government goes to communities, get information, but doesn't share the information, and the other part of government will go share information. I suggest we do a thorough fact finding. In some of these areas, you may find that those people who were part of the delegation that came here may be expecting answers from us. And we cannot go there and say, we don't know much, we don't know anything about your issues, because to them, government is government. Whether you are part of this committee or part of the other committee, government is government, parliament is parliament. So I really would plead that let's do thorough investigation before we embark on any action. Thank you.
That's what we requested the research unit to do. and it's quite a lot of homework to go and do. I recognize Honorable Samandi.
Thank you, Chair. You see, Chairperson, you know, maybe this thing is now following me because I was part of the Petitions Committee. And the Petitions Committee did a thorough job on this matter, Chair. It's a matter of transition in the Transkei and the missing records. And I remember sitting in a meeting with Alexandra Forbes, who were the people that were the holders of the pensions of those people. Uh-huh. And so the Petitions Committee went almost to almost the end and conclusion of the matter. So I would suggest, Chair, whilst the research is doing, the research unit and the staff is continuing with its work that you tasked them to do, that let's have a meeting the next term with the petitions people. Their content advisor, Dr. Gondwe, would and the researcher that was part of it, they have a lot of documents on this thing. So the work was done almost to its conclusion. Now we will be reopening the whole process of that petition, and at the time there was no implication of Treasury in terms of this. It was the matter of how did the state on transitional arrangements took over, what records came and who benefited and who, because the complaint is about others who did get, the company was broken into the west and the east of Transkei, and the east side didn't get because the managers were from the west side. So it's a whole long story, Chair, that was researched thoroughly by Petitions Committee, presentation made, Alexandra Forbes sitting in a meeting, put its own case and that thing. So I don't know how it got to be referred to Treasury. Where does it link Treasury? Or is the conclusion of the petition that Treasury must fork out some money from somewhere? I don't know, Chair. It's not even quantified. What are these costs we're talking about? You know, so in essence, let's get to what the Petitions Committee have done with the matter. It's not. It doesn't start with the economy, the letter to Honorable Khai. It starts with the referral of the petition to the Petitions Committee. So my suggestion is, Chair, let's have a meeting with them as well as a committee, and let's engage, and their content advisor and their research unit and the legal people would then do a presentation to all of us, and then we assess our role in that meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Khai is actually the chair of that specific committee on economic development of small business enterprises, and he invited me, and he invited the acting chair of petition. And we were there present, and we listened to them, and to get some way forward, and that's why we asked the committee section, plus legal people, to go and do an analysis for us. So why we were engaged as finance, I can't tell you because I don't know. That was my first question. Honorable Gaylor.
And I agree with Louis. The petition office done a thorough job. I was also involved in tracing the money, because that company was liquidated. Properties, houses, all
buses,
everything.
Workshops.
I gave the petition committee context of the liquidators, which is the SIU. Now, my main problem, Honorable Louis, is that if you liquidate a company and you don't pay the workers, what then happened with the money?
Direct
it is a question charged. We need to ask.
Direct discharge.
Secondly, there's an amount of about 18 million that was invested from 1994, whichever.
To Alexander.
And I gave them, no, besides Alexander Ford, with FNP.
No.
That was invested by the directors, but unfortunately they could not withdraw the money. I gave that letter to the petition committee as well. That money was sitting with FNP Nomtata.
And I think the petition officer headed over to Treasury. Thirdly, Alexander Forbes, Derek Morton, before this petition came in, I spoke to Derek Morton and he said there is no money owed to these workers. But when he met the petition office, he said there's about 400 and something that is owed. Then I had a question mark, why then does it change? You understand what I'm saying? Pensions are invested with them. First he says to the workers that they are not owed money. Then when he's engaging with the petition office, all of a sudden there's 400 and something. So there's a whole lot of money invested in different, there's old mutual, there's some money there and so on and so. Well, I thought, Honorable Louis, that this matter could be transferred to Treasury as a department, not as a committee. Why do I say so? These monies are in financial institutions. We cannot investigate those, but Treasury can. Alexander Forbes is a financial institution. All Mutual is a financial institution. So that, you know, that was there. But I was involved. I've got all my documentation, everything. I know the whole, from the word go, I know what that means. So, I just wanted to give you that information.
Yes, thank you.
I was involved with it from the word go, even when they came here. Those who were here on Matema, those were the sky workers, not the trans-sky
workers.
Those were the sky, they got more or less the same problem. They were not the trans-sky workers who were sitting outside. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Samad, Honorable Gaila, for this background. We will deal with it when we cross that bridge. So we're waiting for the researchers. Are there anything you want to... update us. Thank you. Members, I draw your attention to our committee program. I've received a question, why so few meetings? We're waiting for legislation to be transferred or transmitted, referred to us from the NA. And that will take us up to the constituency period in September. And then lastly, we had this workshop this morning on the review of the Money Bills Act. Myself, Honorable Karim called me and Honorable Poza for a date for public hearings. I told them that we've got a set approved program for August, September, and the public hearings will be on the 2nd of August, that's a Wednesday, and the only thing we can do, Honorable Motara, you are the committee work to release maybe two members to attend the public hearings. On the 2nd of August, I told Honorable Poza and Karim our situation, and that's the best we can do. Honorable members, that concludes the business of the Finance Committee. We're now going to appropriations, as indicated in the notice. I just want to have a minute break, please. Thank you.